Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Don't let them entities take up your home. Cause you're the entity that make them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug, I just walk with love. Haters wanna give me the me mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one that hit them with this truth. They sweep it under rug. So deal with it yourself. Don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic. This is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it. Orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and add some grace, and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours. It's yours to show. So do it for yourself. You the day one. Day one. So do it for yourself. You the day one. Day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one.
I'm back up on my grizzly. Used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large. We live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star. They say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, Captain. See, right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a Royce and show us how to make it. Until you pull up with your voice and show us how to take it.
Take it.
What you pissing about?
All right. What's going on, everybody? This your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Friday, July the 6th. Friday, July the 6th of 2018, and the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today, and as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you, and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we want to continue what we were talking about yesterday, even though it's a totally different topic, but we are still following in line with the central theme of the true destiny of mankind. We want to continue talking about the importance of you vibrating or oscillating at your highest possible good while accepting your lowest possible common denominator, if you want to use that term. And hopefully you had the opportunity to tune into yesterday's show. Yesterday's show, again, when we started this, we were talking about the recycled behavior, and we were talking about how we all recycle the same behavior over and over and over again. And what we were expressing, exposing, and expanding was this ability to understand that we all have a disposition, and this disposition is our default mechanism. We default back. We fall back to this particular way of thinking. So this disposition that we all have is our negative habit pattern or our current habit pattern. So it's a pattern that we currently have. Everybody has a pattern. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that pattern. It doesn't need to be fixed. It doesn't need to be changed. It doesn't need to be coddled. There is nothing wrong with the current pattern. Let me say that again. That's just what you have voluntarily accepted for your reality today. Now, you can maintain that pattern, or you could do what you have been designed and gifted by God to do. So today we want to talk about Yada. Yada is a Hebrew word that gives us the English word knowing. That's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, which is skull and crossbones. They use the number 322. And most of the ancient societies use the number 3. 3 is the most, one of the most, it comes to the number 2 and the number 1. 3 is one of the most occult numbers, similar to the number 6. And so it is this understanding of the number 322 that gives us Genesis 3:22, which is when the Lord God said something to man, and he said, according to 3:22, and the Lord God said, not God, but the Lord God, not the Lord, not God, but Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the true destiny of mankind is encapsulated inside of Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. Now, the problem is that, man, that is your highest point of common reference. If you could get to that state, you will have a common reference with God. In other words, you would do Philippians 2:5, you would have the mind of God, and then you could say what it said, what Jesus told Philip and what Jesus told doubting Thomas, when you have seen me, when you have seen the Father. So then when Jesus says, me and my Father are one, you would be able to make the same statement. You can say me and the Father are one. That's the purpose of the life management system. That's why I'm on earth. That's why I'm doing today's show. That's why I woke up this morning. That's why I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning. And every morning after that, I have one agenda and one goal, to be like my Father, to establish heaven on earth. That's why I'm here. I'm not here to be like Mike. I'm not here to be like, you know, somebody else. I'm not here to be a watered-down version of Joel Osteen or T.D. Jakes. I'm here to be like my Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed would be his name. His kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven. It's very important, brothers and sisters, that you understand that same disposition and that you establish that disposition, because that's your true destiny that was established for you by your ancestors, Adam or Adamu. So Adamu or Adam are the Adama, the Adamanus race, the Adamination race, has established a particular disposition, because that disposition is to be like the Most High. Now, let's break this down, because man has become like one of us. That is Yada. The word Yada in the Hebrew means knowing. It means discerning. It means perception. It means awareness. It means conscious. It means that's what you got. What you have right now, brothers and sisters, you don't know how valuable that is, because what you got, other people don't have. Other life forms, they don't have free will. They have instinct. They, lions, bears, zebras, dogs, birds, they do not have Yada. You do. But we don't over, under, and understand. Many of us don't. And without understanding this option, you got options, boo-boo. And without understanding what that means, you do not know that you are of the God kind. You are of the God class. You're not part of the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom. Now, you can be. You can act like an animal. You can act like whatever. But your original design, yeah, not so much. The Bible says that man has become like one of us, knowing good from evil. Now, Genesis 3 is talking about when man was exited from the garden. Now, again, the garden means den of enclosure. It means a place of pleasure. So at one time, we walked in the cool of the day. We vibrated on the same disposition as the big G, and we fell. We fell down into life. Now we all are devils, so to speak. That means that we are living. We've lived. D-E-V-I-L. Turn around. L-I-V-E-D. So it says in Genesis chapter 3, let's go up a verse, 21. Genesis 3:21 says, "The Lord God made garments of skin and clothed Adam and his wife. Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing.'" So this act of knowing separates you from everybody else. So this ability that men you have puts us in the God kind or in the God class. It's called Yada. Now, Yada means ability. Yada means acknowledgement. Yada means acknowledge. Yada means acquaintance, acquired or acquainted. It means awareness. It means become known. It means to bring forth. It means to be chosen. It means to be clearly understood, cohabitate, comprehend, concern, discern, disciple, discover, distinguish. And the list of words goes on and on and on and on, according to Strong's Concordance number 3045 in the Hebrew text, Yada. Now, that means to make oneself known or to reveal oneself, Yada. You can express your individual self. Now, let me make sure you understand what that means. Because what has happened is we've lost our ability to know. The word Yada simply means K-N-O-W. The K, silent. W, we don't need it. So Yada means N-O. It means no. It's the power of saying no. Yada means if you can say no to everyone else, you're saying yes to yourself. Gods have that ability to say no. Other things don't. Birds fly south in the winter and north or whatever direction. They can't say no. Let me say that again. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. This is the true destiny of mankind. The ability to say no to everyone else and the ability to say yes to God or your destiny. That's what makes you God-like. That's what makes you a part of the God kind. That's what makes you a part of the God class. Everything else has instinct. You don't. Now, let me make sure you understand, because you are on automatic pilot based upon a program that you wrote. That's what Westworld is all about. Your left brain is the architect of the program. The right brain, or your right brain, depending on who you talk to, right, left, doesn't matter. All I know is one side of the brain is talking. The other side of the brain is following out what the other side of the brain is saying. That's called, again, bicameral brain. That's what you got. You got a bicameral. You are a bicameral being. Now, let me make sure you understand, because a bicameral being is different from a being that has instinct. Now, if you have, you know, instinct, you have the ability to do something that other people or animals can't. Now, some animals have went into extinction. That means that they died off. So there are species of animals that no longer exist because your instinct leads to extinction. Thankfully, we're not part of that class. So everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, you don't have what lions got. Lions will always chase zebras. They don't have a choice. They will always eat meat because they're programmed. So when you're programmed, that means that you operate according to a particular set of instructions. See, your program is rewritten every day by something called epigenetics. So a program is a planned series of future events. It's a schedule. It's been prearranged. It's a timetable. So the program that you have that allows you to engage in a specific automatic performance can be manipulated. You can be reprogrammed by sound, frequency, wave, or vibration. Now, we talked about it. The problem is that the sounds that you are hearing, they're not producing a elevated emotion. That's the only problem you got, boo-boo, is that you're hearing things that doesn't produce a chemical or an emotional response. Emotion is the engine that drives the universe. Let me say that again. Emotion is the energy or the engine that drives the universe. Let me say that one more time. Emotion is the energy or the energy that drives the universe. And so each one of us, we have been reduced. We reduced ourselves spiritually down to our lowest point of common reference. Because each one of us have been filled with fear instead of love. And it is this ability to accept this dependence upon fear, because fear, your biggest fear is that your biggest promise might be the biggest lie. And that biggest promise is that you've created to fulfill the biggest responsibility. And that is to express, expose, and expand yourself in a way that mimics or is just like the big G, meaning that you have been given everything that you need for life and godliness. You have this treasure hidden in earthen vessels. Your biggest fear is that what if your claim to fame is actually true? The biggest fantasy, if you want to use that word, that you have is that you have the possibility of having this guarantee that the big G is going to ensure you become like him. So it's difficult for us to believe that. So it's easy for us to believe the false promise of the devil than it is to believe the true love of God. It's easy to believe the false promise than it is to believe the true love of God. See, God, the love of God guarantees you something, but the false promise of the devil takes something. See, it's easy for us to never make a promise to ourselves, because then we have to live up to it. We have to live up to the promise that we make to ourselves if we say that we're going to act as if. If you say you're going to act as if you are a millionaire, that means every day you make the decision to do things that millionaires do. If you say that, then you got to live up to that. But if you say, you know what, I can't be a millionaire, I can only be, you know, I can work at McDonald's and make $12 an hour, it's easier for us to believe in the false promise of the devil than it is for us to gravitate to the guarantee of the love of God. So it's easy for us to accept or tell ourselves these lies about the definitions of the world that we live in. So what does that mean? Well, let's go back to the characteristics that we have assimilated. These devilish characteristics, we've ascribed them to ourselves and to God in order to convince ourselves not to accept the God-like promise of our true creator. This godlike qualities that each and every one of us has been overridden by the power of fear. So we're trying to let go of this fear. What fear? The fear that you are made in the image and likeness of your creator. The fear that you are, have been given everything that you need for life and godliness. The fear that you don't have an excuse. There's no excuse for you to be poor. There's no excuse for you to be sick. There's no excuse for you to be ignorant. And there's no excuse for you to be in a bad relationship, so you got to make up one. You're not designed for none of these things, none of these attributes. There is no way, there's nothing nobody on earth can tell me to justify their behavior. Nothing, not even me. I do bad things and I try to justify it to myself, but in my conscience, my gut tells me, Negro, stop playing. You know damn well that is not acceptable. Do you think tell you right from wrong? Does anybody need to be told what's right and what's wrong? I don't think so. Even inmates in prison that I guarded for years They knew what they was doing was wrong. They did it anyway. But they knew because it was outside of their program, because they are Yada. So are you. You are of the God kind. You are of the God class. That's your true destiny. But like it says in Psalms 82, if you are of the God kind and of the God class, but if you live like a man or a immortal, you will die like one. But you're not one. But God says, okay, if you want to be like, I'm going to turn you over to a reprobate mind. You want to act like an animal, I'm going to turn your mind over to the animalistic activities so that way you can die like an animal. But let's not get it twisted. You're not a animal, but you will die like one if you continue to act like one. So therefore, you must. See, right now you have the option. Options are of the devil. You have the option not to be like God. And many of us are taking that option to vibrate on our lowest point instead of vibrating on our highest point. So the big G is saying you have the option because you're not an animal that operates off of instinct. You're not. You're acting like one. Science used to tell you that you won, but now, thanks to Dr. Bruce Lipton and everybody else that's coming out there saying that, now you are programmable matter. They used to say that if your daddy had cancer, guaranteed it's in your genes, you got it. Nothing you can do about it. Now, we all know that bullshitness is not true. Just because Jim Bob had cancer, that don't mean that you got it. So you don't got to do no preemptive surgery in just in case it might. No. Your mind. What's more important? The what you eat or what you think? Now, I'm going to let you mull over that question for a moment. So what if you're eating healthy, but you're thinking negativity? Let's say you are a strict, staunch vegetarian. You only eat alkaline food. You drink alkaline water. You breathing pure oxygen. But you're in the ghetto. You're in an environment of basically pure evil. Let's say you're locked up in prison. Let's say you're fighting for your life. Let's say every night you go to bed, you are afraid for your life. You're stressed out. Your mind is one of fear, doubt, and unbelief. But you're eating healthy. What do you think is going to happen? Which one is going to win out? Mind over matter. You ever heard that? Where do you think that came from? If you don't mind, it don't matter. What's more important? Your mentals is way more important than your physicals. So, okay, you're focusing on your diet, but your mind, your thoughts is whack. That dog does not hunt because you have the God kind. You have the God class. So the big G is saying the most important thing on earth is knowledge, is known. But the knowledge comes from the acknowledgement of your acquaintance with your declaration of what you perceive, Now, the word Yadai, the first word is K-O-W. That means if you say no to everything else, guess what's left? The word Yadai means no options. No. K-N-O-W really is the K and the W in English. They just thrown out there for GP. It means the ability to perceive, to see, to find out, and to discern. That's what the word Yadai means. It means the ability to perceive, to see, to find, and to discern. Let me say it again. Yadai. This is the God kind. This is the God class. Notice it has nothing to do with options. It has nothing to do with free will. It has nothing to do with choice. That's of the devil. Now, I know this is tough. I like free will. I like options. I don't know about you. I don't like being painted in the corner. I never knew why all of the Luciferians liked me so much. I never understood why I drew, especially in the earlier days, all my clients a lot of them had serious ego issues. I never really understood. I never really understood why, when I was a little kid, why all of my caregivers didn't like me. My disposition was one of obstinance. I was not a rule follower. I was more like a rule breaker, but I didn't break rules with action. I broke rules with thought. I didn't know. I didn't understand. All I know was in my brain, I saw authority figures as evil. I was born that way. I didn't go, you know, I was born in the dark. I didn't adopt it. I was born with a defiant spirit. It's called stubborn. The Bible says stubbornness is as a sin of witchcraft. I didn't know. I was a little kid. I didn't go to the store and buy it. I didn't take no classes. I was born this way. Now, let me make sure you understand, because I know what, you know, it's really interesting when you see this disposition. When I see it in other children, it's real easy. And when I see it in other adults, because, again, most people just play in the dark. They don't really understand the dark. Stubbornness is as the sin of witchcraft. A stubborn means short. It means stillborn. It means, you didn't really develop all the way. It means spiritually you're missing a couple of sandwiches. The light's on, but nobody's home. Now, again, I didn't ask for this. I was born like this. And I was born with a disposition. And my disposition was different from my brothers and sisters. That's the reason why none of my aunts, uncles, nobody wanted to assist me. I didn't understand. Then I became a man. And then I went into the Marine Corps. And the Marine Corps, immediately, while I was on the bus, I didn't even get off the bus. Three drill instructors came to me. They all jumped on me, mentally first, then physically later. Why? They immediately recognized the disposition. And they told me from the day I started boot camp until I graduated, we going to break your spirit. Remember what Bane told Batman? I'm going to break your bank, then I'm going to break your back. So I went to Marines. That's what they tried to do, although they failed. I think I probably was the only one that didn't get brainwashed, didn't buy into, you know, the Marine Corps system. Now, I faked the funk in order to graduate. Let's not get it twisted. I'm a good chameleon. I'm a good actor. See, man has become like one of us. All gods have something that men don't. That's what separates gods from men. I love in the movie with Brad Pitt, the movie Troy, and he says, there is no pact between lions and men. There is no pact. There is no pact between gods and men. Now, either you're going to be who God designed you to be, or you're going to die like a man. Men can't do what gods do. Gods have the ability to do something that men can't. What is this? In the Greek, it talks about something that is extremely important. It has to do with observation, and let me just read it. It says, observation, care, and recognition of causality. That's a God. Now, the difference between me and most people that I meet is that. Now, the devil is cool. The devil is cool in that he knows you and you don't know him. So the devil, if you want to call it the devil, which is just really your, again, according to the bicameral brain, it's just your left brain. So your left brain knows something about your right brain, or right brain versus left brain. In other words, one side of the brain is reason and logic. The other side of the brain is love and compassion. So reason and logic doesn't want you to operate in love and compassion. So that little voice in your head is not no demon. It's actually you. But you are the demon, you are the daemon, or you are the diamond. You know, they say diamonds are the girl's best friend. But what are they really saying? Look at the word daemon and look at the word demon. Why do the dominant culture promote diamonds? Why are diamonds so expensive? Because daemons are daemons. It's the moon that's producing again a certain frequency that is anti. That's why it's called lunar tick. That's where we get lunar. Lunar means moon. Tick means blood sucking. So the day moon is where we get die moon. Is where we get D moon or demon. Now, that doesn't mean that diamonds are bad or anything of that nature. But anyway, there's always a symbol of a substance. There's always a symbol of a substance. Rihanna has a song called Shine Like a Diamond. What Rihanna is really saying is shine like a demon. Now, don't tell nobody I told you, but let me make sure you understand. Everything on earth is a symbol of something in heaven. That's why the Bible is saying, hey, God said that he wants to establish heaven on earth and remove the symbols and return substance. What is the substance? The substance is man has become like one of us. Now, I didn't say that. I know this is difficult for you to understand, but you know, maybe not you, but people that you know. It is very difficult for the human brain to wrap itself around the God-like promises of your creator and the God-like characteristics and attributes that's inside the letters of your name. The letters of your name are symbols of the qualities of God. That's why man is name and name is man. But let me make sure you understand the depth of the statement. Because you got a symbol and you want to worship the symbol. Because you don't want the substance. It's not you, but it's the day moon inside of you. It's the bicameral brain. It's reason and logic that wants to override love and compassion. That's why people that are the number seven and the number, I got quite a few clients that have the number seven and the number 11. They struggle. Ooh, they struggling. All sevens and all 11s struggle. Their intuition, the 11, tells them what to do. The 7 is given to them so they can carry out what the 11 says. But the 7 doesn't do that. The intelligent part attacks their intuition. So that means that the intellect that's supposed to be carrying out what your intuition, what God is saying, questions it. So your intelligence, your reason and logic questions your love and compassion. Your reason and logic, your love and compassion says, go help that old lady across the street. Your intellect says, I don't think so. It's hot. I got my own bags, and I got other stuff to do. So intellectually, you intellectualize what your intuition is saying. So God has now been intellectualized with technology and money and theology. What does that mean? That means that you're stymied. What does that mean? That means that you can't move forward. That means you got the paralysis of analysis because your right brain, reason and logic, is overriding your left brain, love and compassion. Or if you like me, if you've gotten past the left brain, reason and logic, and you're operating in the right brain, love and compassion, now the devil says, okay, we can't get him with intellect. Let's get him with compassion. Let's turn compassion into a weapon. So that way he's compassionate about, he's spending all of his energy and all of his time pouring compassion into a dark hole, and he ain't getting it back. So we're just going to wear his ass out. Over time, it may take a little while, but over time, his emotional bank account, his spiritual bank account is going to be in the negative because he's giving, but he ain't getting nothing back. But gods have this. They have yada. Little G's, that's what you are, not the bad one. That means that the offspring of a thing grows up to be like the thing. You are a son of light. You're the son. You're the daughter of light. That's what the scripture says. That means you have one thing. Let me read it for you again inside of, again, the Bible. But let's read it from another text. Let's read it from the New Living Translation, Genesis 3:22. So Genesis 3:22 says, then the Lord God is in all caps. The word Lord is in all caps. The word God is in lowercase. That means, again, that's very, very important. Because Genesis 1, different God was talking. And Genesis 4 and 5, a different God is talking. But Genesis 2 and 3, the Lord God is talking. The big G. So the Lord God says, look, the human beings have become like us. Hold up. Time out. Why does Skull and Crossbones have the number 322 written on every document that is ever written? Don't believe me? Go to Google, type in Skull and Crossbones, click on images. Triple dare you. I triple dare you to do it. Not now, but after the show is over. Write that down. I need somebody to prove me wrong. Please prove me wrong. Please go to Google and type it in. But I need you to understand, what is 322? So the Skull and Crossbones was founded on Genesis 3:22. Now, Skull and Crossbones know something that you don't, and they ain't even Christians. That's what's crazy to me is, how the hell the devil got more knowledge than Christians? I don't understand. Now, how the devil know more? Well, I guess he would. He was the anointed cherub that covered. But how his daemons know more than us? How the devil given us our symbols? I don't understand. But I do understand. In fact, I overstand. The devil is not stupid. The devil is establishing the narrative. The devil tells you what you know, what you perceive, what you experience, what you recognize, what you acknowledge, what you confess, what you consider. The devil gives you your knowledge, brother. He gives you, that's why he's called the light bringer, light as in knowledge. The devil tells you what you can and cannot study. So you're getting your narrative from Lucifer. And then you presented it as the big G. Oh, the devil is that stupid, boo-boo. Let me make sure you understand. The devil wrote your narrative. Your job is to be there like the big G. You have discernment. You know something's off. Nobody got to tell you. You know something's off. When I was a little kid, and after church, I saw the Reverend Dr. Bishop sitting in the car smoking a cigarette. I knew something was off. I didn't know nothing about cigarettes. I didn't know nothing about smoking. But my spirit, as a little kid, I just intuitively knew. You do too. You know something's off. You may not know what is off, but you know something is off. That's the God kind. The God kind use observation. The God kind use compassion. It's compassionate observation. That's the definition of the word aletheia, truth. It is compassionate consideration that allows you to have recognition of the causality of evil. So I can trace back evil to its cause. So can you. The only difference between me and you is I've perfected it. Right now, you are ignoring it with your reason and logic. So your reason and logic is questioning your intuition. Your gut tells you what to do. But your brain's like, we'll do it tomorrow. Tell me I'm lying. You know it's true. How do you know? Because your gut, your spirit is telling you, Brother Will dropping some major knowledge. Yeah, but I don't like that dude. He's a short black man. I don't like short black men. The message needs to come from somebody that's tall, blonde hair, and blue eyes. Then I'll accept it. Okay, boo-boo, that's okay. I've been there, done that too. Now, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. When you operate, this morning when you woke up, what did you do? When you wake up in the morning and you start your day, what do you do? Now, the Bible says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's the seven chakras in your body. Those are kirkas. Those are circles. Your spirit is speaking to your chakra systems, your energy centers, the thing that allows you to become a single standing column of waveform energy. You got seven of those, homie. It says, to the one who is victorious, I will grant the right to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God. That's what I do every day. Now, let me make sure you understand how you have the right of the tree of life, not no freaking knowledge of good and evil, in the paradise of God that you got kicked out of. So you cannot operate in whole brain. Let's go biology. So after Adam and Eve ate of this, there was a cherubim, that means cerebellum, with a flaming sword, that means your reticular activating system, to prevent you from going back into the garden, which is your left brain and your right brain, to activate your whole brain, cameral brain. So right now you are bipolar, not you, but people you know. That means you got two brains, but you need to have one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. So your job, my job, every morning I wake up is to make sure that I am whole brain thinking today. I don't want to operate just in love and compassion. I don't want to operate just in reason and logic. I want to operate in both. Remember, never go with option A and option B. As this guy was asking me, hey, is the earth flat or is it round? I told him it is neither one of them. It's not option A or option B. It's both. That's what the Bible says. Bible says it's a firmament. That means it's what some people would call a, you know, half circle. It's a dome that has a flat surface. That means it's round and it's flat. So the devil wants you to choose. He wants to split hairs. He wants you to take and argue over non-issues and spend your whole life, and then by the time you wake up, you're 80 years old, you wasted your whole life arguing over whether his name is Jesus or not. But you haven't done what he did, but you debated over his name. You ain't helped nobody, but you know it was a good life, even though you know you probably wasted it. So the devil doesn't want you to be effective in God's kingdom by building heaven on earth. That's why you're here. But the only way that you can build heaven on earth is to know heaven. So you got to return back into the garden. How do you get back into the garden? You've been kicked out of the garden. Your reticular activating system doesn't let you back in. Your brain does not allow you to even recognize something unless it already exists. So your job is to do what it says in Hebrews 11, which is what I do every day, act as if. Every day I wake up and I act as if I'm healthy. Every day I wake up, I act as if I'm wealthy. Every day I wake up, I act as if I'm wise. Every day I wake up, I act as if I'm in a toe-curling relationship, because that is what the Bible says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I read the Faith Hall of Fame. I don't have to read it no more. I've read it so much when I was a young whippersnapper, I don't need the physical book. I am a walking, talking, breathing book. But until you get to that disposition, until you get to that point, it's okay to go to Hebrews chapter 11 and read it. And guess what you will read if you go to Hebrews chapter 11? You're going to read some toe-curling shizness that I guarantee you. I asked this client who lost his job. Wife kicked him out. He called me and said, Doc, I got to drop out of the program. I know I'll probably have him on here. And I know Brother Matthew wouldn't mind me sharing with this. And I had a one-on-one with him yesterday. A week ago, his world was ending. Everything that he held valuable was gone. And you know what I told him? I've been young and I've been old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. Yesterday, brother had a new job. He's moved on from that dead relationship. And his mental disposition is great. 1 week later, and I asked him specifically, what exactly did you do? You know what the brother told me he said he did? And I'm going to have him on the show so he can tell you himself. He said, Brother, I did exactly what you told me to do. I read the word of God to my situation, and I told God what he said. God told me, I want to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you can ask or think. That's what I did on January 1st of 2009, and that's what I do every day. I don't care what my surroundings say. I go by what God says. He honors his word above his own name. Now, you can argue over the name if you want to, but you might want to get you some word inside your body, homeboy. So when the enemy shows up, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But we wrestle against principalities, against demons, against wickedness in high places. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, pulling down mental dispositions. This is a mental war. That's what you're in. So let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. Now, this is the God kind. This is your true destiny. This is what you should be beaming every day. This is what you should be bonding to every day. This is what you should be being. Your mental disposition, the light that is being beamed or emitted from your body, the bonding that should be taking place in your private, what you do in private will allow you to be rewarded in open. Guess where I fight the war at, brother? You think I fight it on Facebook, on Instagram? Hell no. I fight it in private. What I do in private by myself alone when nobody is watching, I'm building my faith. What are you doing? What are you doing when nobody's around? When it's just you and God? You watching porno? Are you reading some freaking scriptures? What are you doing, brother? What are you doing, sister? What are you doing? The Bible says, you know, when you pray, go into your closet. Pray in private. And your Father who sees you, he will reward you in open. See, the way you fight the war, private. You don't call nobody. You don't get a bunch of sisters together or a bunch of brothers. Now, corporate prayer, corporate worship, church on Sunday, that's great. Awesome. But when you finish, go home. Get in your closet. Not your physical closet, your mental closet. And you and God, you give God his word back to God because God honors his word, not yours, above his name, not yours. The word of God is alive. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. I don't understand why you would use any other weapon. There's only one weapon. You got one option. This is the God kind. Gods recognize other gods because they use the same weapon. See, when I was a Marine, I could recognize another Marine because we all wore the same freaking uniform and we all had the same freaking mentality. Marines were called devil dogs for one reason and one reason only. We were trained to kill. We wasn't trained to debate. You won't find no Marine walking around debating with nobody. He's trying to end your life. So I don't know why you would debate. You're not a debater. You're an educator. You educate people with the word of God. The word of God is alive. So if you're dealing with anything that is dead, you got the wrong thing, boo-boo. The word of God is alive. It is powerful. That's why I use it, because it works. It's been working for me ever since I was 8 years old. You think I'm going to change guns in the middle of a fight? So the Bible says that now faith is talking about the word of God. And the King James says now. Notice the faith is now. Now, faith is the substance. Now, the definition of the word substance is the word assurance. See, right now, you don't have assurance. The word assurance is confidence. You're lacking confidence. You're not bold enough. You're not arrogant enough. You don't have dunamis power. You don't have righteous indignation. See, when I speak as one who have authority. That means I know. That's yada. The first word in the ancient text, men is become like one of us, knowing. You know what that word knowing means? Confidence. See, right now, the God you got, he might show up and he might not. You want to trade that one in. The God I got, he shows up every time. 24/7, 3/6. He don't take no days off. He's always on time. Even when God don't show up, he shows up. Because he ain't got to show up because he ain't never left. That's assurance. See, assurance. Now faith is the assurance. Now faith is the confidence. See, let me calm down a little bit. I don't know if y'all understand. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Only God can do for you what he's done for me. I can't. I am going to express and expose and expand everybody that's part of this advanced system to the true power of the presence of God by giving you the assurance of God. The word assurance has the word in, basically the word insurance is. Now, insurance is something that you have in case of risk. Now, insurance covered what they call name perils. Now, in insurance, there are certain name perils. Now, let me make sure you understand. Because if your peril is not named, it's not covered. Now, in insurance, the word assurance is the word insurance. A peril means exposure to injury or loss or destruction. A peril is anything that causes or that may cause loss or destruction. Now, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Perils cover destruction. So, like, when I drive my car, I'm not, you know, if my wife was on the phone, she would probably say, yeah, that fool drives a little reckless. Now, why do I drive aggressive or reckless? Why do I drive with no concern? Because I have assurance. Now, where do I get my assurance from? I get my assurance from my insurance. Let me make sure, because, see, you got spiritual insurance, but you live in your life like you don't. That's the difference between gods and men. Men, they don't have insurance. Gods, they do. Gods have knowing. Men, they have wishing. They have hoping. They have dreaming. You got to cross over from, again, being a part of the mankind to be a part of Godkind. Until you do that, the devil got your, he got your number, boo-boo. Because he will always put options in front of you. See, when you are of mankind, you got options. Godkind, they don't have options. They got one way ticket to heaven. When you are of the Godkind, you don't need no backup plan in case it might not work, because you know it's going to work. That's the difference between gods and men. Gods wake up, they know. Men, they wake up, they hope. So this morning, when you woke up, did you know you was wealthy, or you still got a dream? You still got a wish. You're still hoping that what you're doing work out. See, I used to do that too, and then I developed a system called a life management system that is a knowing system. So now I know. I don't wish, I don't hope, I don't dream anymore. I know. Man has now become like one of us, knowing. See, the difference between you, not you, but, you know, people you know, and everybody else, they don't know. Okay, how do I know? Revelation 2, verse 7. I read it earlier. Let me read it again. This is how to establish knowing. If you remember the life management system, if you signed up for this advanced program, please memorize Revelation 2, 7. Or just write it down. Revelation 2, 7. He who has an ear. Number one, you need an ear. Now, what is the ear? That a ear is willingness. See, a lot of people, they don't have an ear. That's why they can't hear. He who has an ear. Now, that implies that it's optional. That means you don't have to have one. But if you got one, guess what you should do? He who has an ear, number one, you need an ear. Once you get an ear, what is an ear? Willingness to listen. See, a lot of people are not teachable. I know a lot of folk that ain't teachable. They already know. They're like, oh, yeah, that dude, Brother Will, yeah, we don't understand that dude. They already know. It's just, no, it's really interesting. You see somebody that, you know, weighs 600 pounds and you weigh 200 pounds, and you're giving them what they need, you know, some information to assist them, but they blow you off because they think they already know. Obviously, based upon, you know, observation, what they know ain't working. There may be reasons why, but there are some people, they don't have an ear. They ain't interested in what you're talking about, boo-boo. Those people, yeah, not so much. You can't do nothing for them. Now, me, last week when I was younger, stupider, I was trying to force feed people. Now, not so much. I'm not trying to make people hear who don't want to hear. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches or the churches. Number one, you got to have an ear. Number two, You got to listen to what the Spirit, not the symbol. I'm a symbol of the Spirit of God. So you don't have to listen to me. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So you listen to the Spirit, not the letters. Now, some people listen to the words I say, get offended, and they disconnect. They don't listen to the Spirit. Anybody that listens to the Spirit, you would never be offended by anything I say. Why? Because you know me. You know that I did not come on here with no intention. Why would I come on a show to help you, but with the intention to hurt you? Why would I do that? That doesn't benefit me. It doesn't benefit me. It doesn't benefit you. Now, if I'm wanting you to join my system, why would I say things to push you away from my system? Yeah, that dog does not hunt. So my intention is not to do anything or say anything that would make you feel anything except love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. However, I know that some statements that I'm going to say that you are going to perceive differently from what my intention was. That's just human nature. That's just the way that the universe that we live in is wired. That's okay. Your job is before every show is say, Heavenly Father, please allow what I need to be received. What does that mean? That means you're saying, Father, I have an ear. I'm willing. You meet the first requirement. Now that you are willing, now we've gone to the second requirement. Now you got to hear what the Spirit. You can't hear what I'm saying. You must hear what the Spirit is saying. So you say, Heavenly Father, you said that the Holy Spirit would lead me and guide me. You ain't say nothing about Dr. Will Rogers or Master Teacher 33 or his alter ego, Will Rogers. You say nothing about them three dudes. You just said the Spirit. So I don't want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to the Spirit. If the Spirit don't say nothing, I could talk for a whole hour. And maybe 1 minute of what I say is actually spiritual. Take that 1 minute and run with it. Everything else, the other 59 minutes, yeah, you can throw that away. Listen to what the Spirit says because it registers with your spirit. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. You know in your gut. Nobody has to tell you, man, you know. Now, your brain is going to probably talk you out of it, but you know. That's why, again, it must be different. It must be emotionally charged. It must be quickly implemented. We talked about that yesterday. So Revelation 2:7 says, he who has an ear, number one, let him hear what the Spirit says, number two, to the churches, number three. That's the chakras. That just simply means your gut. Number four, to the one who is victorious. So God only talks to other gods. He don't even talk to peasants. So if you come to God with a mindset that is not victorious, God is not talking to you. Now, let me make sure you understand why this is so important. This is what separates the men from the boys. This is what separates, you know, lions from men. God says, the Bible says in Revelation 2:7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches, to the one who is victorious, I will grant the right to eat of the tree of life in the paradise to the one who is victorious. He didn't say, so God says, when Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. You're still trying to finish it. God already finished it. See, when I realized that, it changed my life. When I realized that God has given me everything that I need for life and godliness. Now, the word has means past tense. It's not present tense or future tense. So sometimes in eons past, before you was a thought form, before you was a sperm in your daddy's scrotum, God had already finished. So you trying to finish stuff God already did. So everything that you have in your mind, if you're working so hard, you slaving over and you pondering and you praying, oh, Father, please, God, you can stop all of that, man. Stop. You wake up and you said, I am. That's it. If you do not do that, your dogs will not hunt because you are violating universal spiritual law. You can't come to God begging and groveling like a freaking dog. Do you think my son has to call me and beg me and, Daddy, can you please? No, if my son is hungry, I don't care if I'm 80 years old. and my son calls me and say, Dad, I need some food, and they start going to this. Oh, hold up, BJ. Stop, man. Stop. Come over here right now, man. What's mine is yours. Do you think the Bible says if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how, man, y'all don't know who you are, man. Why you coming to God like you broke and you busted and you crying and you begging? Oh, God, I don't do that shit no more, man. That's a waste of freaking time. See, we have been sold a bill of good, and we put demonic characteristics onto a heavenly God. Don't do that, man. Don't do that. Because what you are doing is you are taking what it says in the book of Isaiah. And let me close with this I'm already out of time. I don't know if I can finish this. I got to finish it. Let me make sure that you understand the importance of maintaining a mind of Christ. If you don't get nothing else after the hour and 10 minutes that I've been talking, please, please, please get this. The enemy takes what is right side up and turns it upside down. Please, please, please get this. This is extremely important. Upright living in an upside down world. Living upright in an upside down world. You must live upright while in an upside down world. Every day you wake up, you must understand Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Let me speak very clearly. Please write this scripture down. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Verse 21, Isaiah 5, 21. Woe. Now he said woe once. Now he said it again. He said it in Isaiah 5:20. Now he said it, woe again, Isaiah 5:21. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and are prudent in their own sight. Woe, verse 22, Isaiah 5:22. This is the third woe. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe, this is the fourth woe. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink. Woe, this is the fifth woe, Isaiah 5:23, who justify the wicked for a bribe and who take justice from the righteous man. Verse 24, therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the shaft, so shall their root be as rottenness, and their bosoms will ascend like dust, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts, and they have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. That is Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 through 24. There are four woes in those four verses. Isaiah 5, 20 through 24. But what I want you to get, we live in a world where, according to Isaiah, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitterness. Woe to those in their own eyes and put it in their own sight. Woe to men who mix drinking wine, and woe to those who mix intoxicating drink. Now, there is a system that is promoting good as evil and evil as good. I've been saying this for 25 years. Isaiah said the same thing. What you have, what most of us have, they've taken the truth and turned it upside down. How do I know? Now, that was Isaiah 5:20. Let's read Isaiah 29:15. Isaiah 29:15. Heavenly Father, test the minds of your people. Now, remember, this is the true destiny of mankind. What is it? Discernment. Now, remember, I was born with the inability to see. And I was brought out of darkness into this marvelous light. Now I have the ability to see. It's called discernment. What do I discern? Let me tell you what I discern. Isaiah 29, verse 15 and 16. Isaiah 29, 15 and 16. Verse 15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from God, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who sees us? Who knows us? See, brothers and sisters, there's not too many people that I've met that is more covert than me. I know they're out there. I just ain't met them. Now, I can bring my first wife on here. I can bring my current wife on here. I can bring my kids on here. I can bring anybody that know me, and they will all tell you the same thing. If I am not your friend, that is not a good thing. Meaning, I can do stuff that you will never see until I want you to see it. And you will never know unless I want you to know. That's called covert. That's what the enemy does. That's what Bane, the reason. Now, if you watch Darkest Night, why is it called Darkest Night? K-N. Remember, the word darkest and night, they're both the same thing. Darkness, now what happens at night? Darkness. That means dark, dark, triple dark. That's what the whole Batman series is about. Now, let me make sure that you understand. Because what this is saying is, in the book of Isaiah, woe to them that seek deep to hide their counsel from God. Now, I was born doing this. I didn't know. Once I found out that what I was doing was not correct, I asked the Father to take me out of this darkness and translate me into this marvelous light. I had a counterfeit conversion at first, then I got the real one. Why? Their works are in the dark, and they say, who sees us? Who knows us? I used to say the same thing. Verse 16, surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. So they, the dominant culture, disharmonious arrangement, they take the truth, they turn it upside down. Why y'all think I took the life optimization circle and I put it in reverse? Because I knew the devil turned it upside down because the Father told me he turned it upside down and he gave me something called discernment. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. So the devil has took a system, he turned it upside down, and he gave it to you, and they say, hey, this is the potter's clay. That's you. In other words, they taking something that is bad, and they are presenting it as good. And everybody's like, yes, that's it. No, boo-boo, that is not it. Discernment is the ability to see that what is being presented as God ain't God. You need that in these last days. Because everything that glitters ain't gold, boo-boo. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say to him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say to him that framed it, he hath no understanding? In other words, there's a system out there that is saying this universe just popped up out of thin air. The universe and evolution and everything is just Darwin's theory. We just had the Big Bang. We don't know where the Big Bang came from. It was just a Big Bang. And it just came out of nowhere. So now the thing made is telling the thing that made it, you didn't make me. That's what's being promoted right now by the dominant culture and this harmonious arrangement, is it not? So believe me, go to a science class. Take biochemistry like I did. Listen to your professor. You know what he's going to tell you? There is no God. He's going to tell you all this shit is just popped up out of thin air, and it's on a course by there is no designer. Now, there is this system based upon something, but there is no, there, it just kind of came out, and there's no God. That's what they are saying. The book of Isaiah said that they would take that, or they would say that. They would say that the thing is framed, was framed by something that has no understanding. Are you serious? So there's a program in place, but there is no programmer. And you want me to believe that. But that's what they want us to believe. Now, if you buy that, you're not as bright as I thought. Brothers and sisters, Psalm 82, verse 5 and 6 that we read yesterday, this is how you separate the wheat from the tares. This is what I do every day. I listen to people talk, and they tell me the opposite of what God says. Because Psalms 82, 5 says, they do not know. What is the thing that makes you like God? Yada. What is yada? No. So when I talk to people and they do not know, what is it that they do not know? They do not discern. They do not have perception. They do not have the ability to perceive. And more importantly, they ain't willing. The word in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10, the difference between the wheat and the tares, wheat have something called consideration. It's called love and compassion. If you want to put a bullet in my head because I don't agree with you, I know you are the devil. Because God doesn't care if you agree with him or not. Truth does not need to be defended. No lion needs your help in hunting. Lions kill. They don't need help killing. They are killing machines. Don't believe me? Go to the jungle and just run around. Watch how fast you get mauled. No lion needs help. God doesn't need help. We think he does. Nobody else needs help. That's why I got out of the saving business. When I understand, God understands that he has given everybody everything that they need for life and godliness. So just because somebody is not using what God has given them doesn't mean I'm supposed to go over there and give them what God gave me. That's a mistake I've been making. Don't cast your pearls among swine. That just simply means you go to somebody's house, they don't receive you, you shake the dust off your feet, and you keep stepping. God is telling you something that is extremely important, brothers and sisters. This is the true destiny of mankind. This is your true destiny. Your true destiny is to under, over, and understand exactly what the Bible says in Psalms 82, verse 5. They do not know or understand. They wander in the darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. Verse 6, Psalms 82, verse 6. I have said you are gods. You are sons of the Most High. But like mortals, you will die. And like rulers, you will fall. Psalms 82, verse 5 and 6. If you act like a man, you walk like a man, if you talk like a man, you will die like a man. But you're not a man. You're a son of the Most High. Act like one. How do you act like a son of God? No. How do you know? You simply align with the Spirit. How do you align with the Spirit? You yield your will to God. And you do exactly what Jesus did. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, oh, man, this cup, I can't, man, I don't want to do this. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Do that. That's what I do every morning. I got a lot of shit that I would like to do. But I say, Heavenly Father, not my will, but your will. You said that the Ruach and the Pneuma, the Holy Spirit, will lead me and guide me. That is my upline. That's my instructor. That's my life coach, the Holy Spirit. The set-apart one will lead you and guide you. Now, it may use a donkey. It may use a blade of grass. It may use the Reverend Dr. Bishop. It may use your neighbor, your wife, your children. The Holy Spirit can speak through anybody, as the Scripture has already proven. So the Holy Spirit, but your job, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Your gut will instantly know, hey, my child is dropping knowledge. Let me listen. Out of the mouth of babes, let the truth be established. So, brothers and sisters, you know. You may not want to know, but you do. You have the ability to perceive. You have the ability to see. You have the ability to discern. When you wake up, you say, I have. You don't say, I'm going to get. You don't say, I'm going to be. You say, I am. I have the ability to perceive. I have the ability to see. I have the ability to discern. Perceive, see, and discern. That's how you know. I can perceive. I can spot cray cray on another freaking planet. I can see. I stayed in the dark long enough for me to see in the dark. So I ain't scarred. And I got discernment. I can discern good from evil. So can you. How do you know? Because the Father don't make mistakes. You are a son of God. Therefore, you got the characteristics and the attributes of God. Act like it. Brothers and sisters, this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May your son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth. Because he will never, ever, 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 ever manipulate or control you. Some of y'all are in environments where you are being manipulated and controlled. If that is the case, you need to exit stage left. Because that ain't not God. The big G will never manipulate or control you. He don't come with no slick marketing campaign and all this other crap. The word of God stands on its own. It don't need to be defended. You just speak it. That's all you got to do. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You just drop the mic and exit stage left. That's all you got to do. Introduce the word of God into your life and see what happens. God said he will never leave you nor forsake you. He honors his word above his own name. Try it. The Holy Spirit will never, ever, ever try to manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Listen. Don't let them entities take up your home. Trippin'. Cause you're the entity that make them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. Yeah. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug. I just walk with love. Yeah. Haters wanna give me the me mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one that hit them with this truth. They sweep it under rug.
Yeah. Yeah.
So deal with it yourself. Don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic. This is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it. Orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and ask for grace and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours, it's yours for sure. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one. This world is yours, it's yours for sure. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one.
Yo. Since I'm back up on my grizzly, used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large, we live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star, they say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, Captain. See, right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a Royce and show us how to make it. Until you pull up with your voice and show us how to take it.
Take it.
For yourself, you the day one, day one.